The Gist. The results from the Open Medicine Foundation massive TREAT-ME survey were recently released. The survey, which covered 150 drug, supplement, and non-pharmacological treatments, was filled out by almost 4,000 ME/CFS and long COVID patients. Brain retraining programs, brain stimulation, sleep drugs, and physical therapy were not assessed. The authors produced a figure called Net Assessment Score, or NAS, which was based on patients' positive and negative responses to each treatment. Because any level of improvement or worsening is included in NAS, NAS by itself does not tell us much about the degree of effectiveness. This led some treatments that did not improve patients much but were viewed positively by many patients being included in the top 20 treatments. This blog focused more on an appendix, which isolated treatments that, quote, moderately slash much better, end quote, improved symptoms. 21 treatments resulted in moderate to much better improvement over 30% of the time, while 41 other treatments resulted in moderate to much better improvement between 20 and 30% of the time. All told, 62 treatments were deemed by greater than 20% of patients to make them, quote, moderately slash much better, end quote. See the blog for the list of top 21 efficacious treatments. IVIG was the big surprise. IVIG is expensive and hard to get, but of the 91 people who tried it, almost two-thirds reported moderate to much improvement. The NAS symptom assessment suggested that IVIG can help fatigue, 55.4%, post-exertional malaise, 46.7%, POTS, 55.8%, and brain fog, 50.8%, frequently. Additionally, the NAS graph of the top 20 treatments showed that IVIG was the treatment most often associated with a, quote, much better, end quote, response. Low-dose naltrexone's high efficacy rate, 60% and nearly 1,000 responses, suggests that targeting immune activity in the brain may be highly beneficial. The NAS calculation found LDN improved fatigue or low energy, 41.5%, post-exertional malaise, 33.2%, and brain fog, 42.3%. LDN is often used for pain, but pain was not assessed in this study. While being mindful that only 30 people had tried ketamine, its high efficacy, 43%, also suggests that brain-targeting drugs may be helpful. One big surprise was how few people, 20%, have tried pacing, given how often it was efficacious, 37%, and how long it's supposedly been a mainstay in managing ME/CFS. Was this due to fewer long COVID patients embracing it? According to NAS, pacing was found to help frequently with fatigue, 82.7%, post-exertional malaise, 62.6%, brain fog, 72.2%, and POTS. The good response rates from heparin, triple therapy, and natokinase, lumbrokinase, and serapeptase suggested that clearing out blood clots can be very helpful. Ivabradine's success rate was not surprising given that it appears that it, more than other drugs, is helpful with POTS. The relatively good efficacy for ivabradine, beta blockers, and propranolol indicates the important role these drugs can play in those with orthostatic intolerance and dysautonomia. Only 58 people have tried Maraviroc, the drug Bruce Patterson introduced to the field. But the good response rate, 41%, suggested he may be onto something. 32 treatments were assessed by more than 300 people. In this list, the big losers were the supplements, 17 of which made this list, but which, unless they were paired with something, rarely made the top 62 most efficacious treatments. The fact that one type of antihistamine, H1RA, had been tried by about 40% of the patients indicates how far mast cell activation syndrome, MCAS, has penetrated the ME/CFS patient population. The greatly increased efficacy rate, 38% of the H1RA and H2RA group, suggested that patients taking H1RA only might want to add an H2RA antihistamine. It was surprising how few people, 20%, have tried pacing. Many people had tried stimulants, 457, which had one of the highest response rates, 37% moderately much better, but also produced some significant negative responses. MCAS treatments were among the more commonly effective treatments. Of the 15 treatments assessed, 10 were reported by at least 20% of the patients to moderately/much improve their symptoms. All of the anti-herpes viruses drugs, such as famciclovir, valganciclovir, valaciclovir, acyclovir, were rated by between 20 and 30% of patients to moderately much improve their symptoms. Except for bupropion, 172 people, 30% of them were moderate much better. The antidepressants did not produce impressive results, less than 20%. Two old standbys, Lyrica and gabapentin, both scored fairly well, 26% moderate much better improvement, and low-dose Abilify did well, 32% reported moderate to much better improvement. None of the gut enhancers or antioxidants produced strong results. The mitochondrial enhancers in general did poorly. The big surprise was that only 18% of respondents reported that oxaloacetate produced moderate to much better improvement. If you're trying CoQ10 or ECCG, higher doses appear to increase efficacy. Some of the newer treatments, rapamycin, GLP-1 agonists, plasmapheresis, fecal transplants, stellate ganglion block, psychedelic drugs, were not assessed. Not many people had tried HBOT, 37 people did, but almost 30% reported that it moderately to much better improved their symptoms. Not many people had tried nicotine patches, 25 did, and 24% reported that it moderately to much improved their symptoms. The study didn't assess brain retraining, which is open to anyone. The fact that most of the better treatment options involve drugs indicates, though, that this is not a do-it-yourself illness and that a doctor who is willing to take the time and trouble to trying different approaches is essential. Looking to the future, one wonders if the promising showing by immunomodulators, IVIG, maraviroc, brain-impacting drugs, ketamine, guanfacine, and NAC, mast cell-impacting drugs, and anticoagulants will play a larger role. Note that several large immunomodulatory drug trials are underway in long COVID. Thanks for listening.